This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, good everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and as always, I'm always thrilled you guys decided to join with me. You know, I always say this, but it's such an honor and a privilege to know that we have people all around the globe from China, Taiwan, Switzerland, Germany, Canada. My goodness, we've got them all. France, Hawaii. I mean, we've got them all over the globe. Alaska, that write in for prophetic words, that are part of our podcast, read my books, and go through my courses. And I'm honestly thrilled. Honored and thrilled because I have so many amazing people who are just like me. They want to take a journey. They want to sort of leave religion behind, leave tradition behind, take a journey to the kingdom of God, and let's just dive deep and discover secrets and mysteries that God has hidden for us to find, not from us, but for us to find, correct? So today I want to talk to you guys about basically breaking the financial code. And I'm actually taking this from my series, my course that I have on the website, which is fairly new, been out for not too long, and it's called Breaking the Financial Code. And it's actually a course of mine that has, I think it's got, let's say, 12 hours of teaching after teaching after teaching on digital downloads, and you get a bonus ebook with it. And it's something that I believe is very important today because we live in a society that it's either do or die. If you think about society as a whole, you think, here in America, we have pretty much the rich, the middle class, and the poor, right? You go to India, you have either the poor or you have the rich. There's not a middle class there in India. You have so many different countries that are sort of similar in nature to that same thing. And one of the things that I really am finding myself in my life is understanding is no matter what side of the spectrum you find yourself on, if you're the rich guy, if you're the poor guy, if you're the middle class guy, blue collar guy, whatever, I want to be able to help you in understanding that you still have your potential and you still have the gift of God in you that causes you to prosper. You know, we read this scripture all the time, and I know it's something Paul said that he wishes. It's funny to me also, by the way, how we hear people that are very religious and they say, oh, we don't make a wish. We don't wish anything. That's not biblical. And I'm like, really? Well, you need to tell the greatest apostle who ever lived that it's not real because he actually put it in the Bible. And that is, I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. You know, it's funny how people will take this, they get so religious minded that they forget the fact that some of these words they talk about actually are in the Bible. The word wishing and wish is in the Bible. You know, you think of the word lucky. You think of Paul preaching in Acts, where, side note by the way, Paul preaching in Acts where it deals with, you know, this man who Paul's preaching, and this man falls asleep and falls backwards out of the third story window, you know, where Paul was preaching, and he hits the ground. His name is Eutychus, and how Paul goes down there, sort of breathes life back into him and sort of resurrects him. And the word Eutychus actually means lucky. And it's so funny to me because if we throw the word lucky and wish, you know, out to the church, and most of them would panic and faint because they're too religious to understand the very words that they have been told by religious people that are not in the Bible are actually in the Bible. You know, it's so funny to me. I'm like, it's in the Bible, folks. Not even just the name Lucky, it's the fact it's a person's name. And so we could say Paul resurrected luck. Hello, you know, so it's so funny. And we could say the greatest apostle actually was wishful thinking, because he was. So, side note for some of you that might be a little too religious, that might want to knock over some sacred cows, there you go. That's a good sacred cow you can knock over. One thing I tell people all the time, I said, look, I am not religious. Not one bone in my body is religious. I don't talk Christianese jargon. I believe in the kingdom. I practice the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has nothing to do with Christianity as far as jargon and the language and some of these ridiculous traditions that people make up that are just not biblical. You know, and so, hey, grace, grace, grace. But we do like the fact that we can dive into the Bible and say, wow, I didn't realize that was in the Bible. There's a lot of great things in the Word of God. So let's talk today for a couple moments on that, on the society of finances. Rich, poor, middle class, blue collar, whatever. When we see this, we have to remember that God has given us potential, the potential of God that works in us. When Paul said, I do wish above all things you'd prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Think about this for a moment. Think about the fact that, why is that even in the Bible? Okay. And second of all, why did Paul just wishful thinking, and through his wishful thinking, that we would all just prosper and be in good health? Because it's something that Paul knew that, and I love the word wish because the fact, that's why I brought it up today, because the fact is Paul is wishing this upon you. Now let's stop there for a moment, okay? If Paul is sort of quote-unquote wishing this upon you, think about the reality of that. Think about the reality of realizing that we read scriptures where in the Old Testament it says, it is God who giveth thee the power, which the word power in the Hebrew language in that verse, one of the few verses alone, that is called attraction. Did you guys know that? Where it says, it is God who giveth thee power to get wealth. And what's interesting is in the original language, it actually means, even in the Aramaic, it actually means attraction. And the Hebrew language alludes towards the same word as well, which means it's God who giveth you attraction. It is God that gives you the attraction. Now think about that for a moment. It is God who gives thee the attraction to get wealth. What that means is, why on earth would we allude towards a word that represents attraction like a magnet? Why? Why would Paul bring in even a wishful thinking thousands of years later in the New Testament? Because the fact, the Old Testament is guaranteeing us that in covenant. Now, the Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust. It's amazing to me nowadays that statistically, there are more people that are secular, for lack of better words. I'm not a big secular versus sacred person. I think everything is sacred in the kingdom of God. It's how you look at it and what you decide to learn from it. Amen. And the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and everything in it. So for me, secular versus sacred is not even biblical. If you want to get technical about it, it is God who owns the world. And so for me, everything's sacred. It all depends on, to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. It all depends on how you decide through the mind of Christ to see life, reality, things, places, and people. It's up to you through what scope and what mindset are you seeing things. All right, it's the same. It's all about perspective, the perspective of life. Some people see the glass half full, some people see the glass half empty. But when we look at this, we discover why are there a lot of people who always are under attack of the devil? The devil, the devil, devil. Well, if you look at their lifestyle, you'll find that their lifestyle pretty much is talking more of that language of the devil and enemy, and you dive into their belief system and the traditions that make the word of God of none effect. You'll find out that they have plenty of traditions that are based on seeing life as half empty. You'll find out where they see things through the lenses of warfare, through the lenses of the devil's out to get me all the time. They'll have a mindset that deals with a martyr syndrome, that if I'm not actively fighting and sweating at the brow, then maybe God won't be proud of me, because that's what martyrs do. So it all depends on what kind of theology you believe, the belief you have, to recognize when you're truly under, let's say, attack, okay, versus people who are constantly under attack. And so really life is about perspective. It really is. And so when we see it from that angle of even perspective, we have to begin to examine that to understand that how I look at myself and my own value, how I look upon the scriptures, how I look upon society, how I look upon education versus uneducated, how I look upon things such as poverty versus prosperity, I have to remember that God's word is true, number one. We can write that off because we know that's a fact, right? We also know, number two, God's word works. We can put the number two, write that off, right? Because we can say it's a grounded foundational principle of the scripture. However, then we deal with maybe the third point, the fourth point, that deals with the fact of it is now up to you. In other words, how do you define yourself? How do you define your life? How do you define your potential? How do you define your vision? For people, if you think about statistics that I brought to your attention earlier that I didn't get to finish, statistics say that the majority of people, we're going to use the word secular just for a split moment, okay, or the unsaved. We'll go with that for a moment. that it's statistics say that actually those who are not in Christ, in the sense of those who, let's say, are not Christian people, are actually more prosperous than that of those who are Christians. Did you know that? That's really sad, is it not? Really sad. Knowing that we serve a God and that has Old Testament and New Testament that deals with many verses, many verses on prosperity. So when we see this, we have to understand, why is that? Is it because God loves the secular more than he does those who are Christians? Does he love, you know, what is the deal? No. It's the idea that God is saying, here's my word, okay? It rains upon the just and the unjust, which means whoever decides to see it this way, in a positive light, well, it'll work for them. Those who don't, those who feel as if it's a work issue, I've got to really work hard at it. How many people in your life do you know who always say, if you work hard in life, you'll get somewhere? And it's interesting because the majority of people who say that don't really get anywhere in their life. Think about that. Because of the simple fact that they've programmed their mind to say, I've got to work hard at it. You know, there's an old saying I say, which is basically, it's time to work your mind, not your behind. And I love that phrase because it's so true. It doesn't mean people who work hard as far as at the sweat of the brow, who work naturally hard with their body, doesn't mean they'll never prosper. It just is saying to you, if you really want to get on top of the game of life, you're going to have to think it through. You have to use a strategy from the kingdom of God through the mind of Christ to say, hey, you know what? The way I see Scripture and the way I see my reality and the way I see myself and the way I see money, the way I see life, these things will determine not so much of just having faith on a Scripture of prosperity. That's where we lose it. I think for years we went through the faith movement, which I am a huge fan of because I was raised in the faith and kingdom movement. Had a great upbringing, very rich upbringing with teachings of the Word. However, even through all of that, it's not really based on necessarily just the faith that you believe in a Scripture or the faith you believe in the Word of God. It deals with the fact of your faith in yourself, your faith in your reality, your faith in the sense of in your vision. So you're going to have to realize that it's not about why isn't God's word not working for me. Maybe it's because I'm under attack. And it's funny to me how a lot of Christians will allude towards the fact, I'm under attack. God's, you know, the enemy's wanting my finances. Can I be honest with you? Let me ask you an honest question. How many of you in the New Testament has actually ever heard of any apostle or any disciple actually say those phrases or those words or allude even towards it, such as, the devil's after my finances? You will never read that in the New Testament. You'll never read it really in the Old Testament. You don't. You don't hear devil and finances or prosperity or wealth in the same sentence. You don't. You hear it, and I want you, each one of you, to listen closely. We want to destroy some sacred cows, which are basically traditions that you believe that are not biblical. You never, ever, 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 ever hear anything about that. The devil is stealing my finances. The devil is attacking my finances. You never do in the Bible. Why is that? Because in the charismatic movement, especially in the prophetic move, we have gotten so warfare-minded that we hear things and then we run with it and not even sort of technically examine if it's biblical. Is it something that truly needs my help, God's help? What is the text really saying on these areas, you know, of my life and the Scriptures and everything else? So we just run with it because it sounds good. Why? It sounds great. You know why? Because we can blame something we can't see on why I'm not prospering. I can blame something that I can't see that I've just heard of. Okay, come on. Let's just face about it. Just be real about it. That I've heard of based on someone I admire as a preacher, prophet, whatever. And so if they say it's got to be true. And so we allude towards these things as everything being an evil spirit, which we don't hear in the Bible mentioned. Hello, being very honest with you guys. And we don't see that because you won't find people in the Word of God who has ever said that or alluded towards the fact the devil stole my finances, the devil's after my finances, he is after my paycheck, you know, or I'm being ripped off because of the devil. No, because of the fact, if you think about it, what makes it very powerful, very, very potent, powerful in the Bible, which actually represents this fact. Maybe when we read the Scriptures, okay, let's just start there for a moment. Maybe when we read the Scriptures, why is it that we don't find that? Why is it that we don't find the devil and finances in the same sentence? Because what makes it powerful, I want to say this again, folks, what makes it powerful and more potent is the fact that we can't find a Scripture that the devil stole my finances, the devil's after my checkbook, And it's more potent. Why? Because the entire Bible is alluding not to something that I said a second ago, that we have to blame on something we can't see, or that we're blaming on something that a preacher told us that sounds really good. Because if you think about it, all through the scriptures, guys, all through the scriptures, we read how people blamed other people. Okay? Adam blamed Eve, you know, for eating the fruit, and yet here we are thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, because it's obviously in the DNA of humanity, to find something or someone to blame. I mean, think about that. And so what do? We blame Satan because I can't prosper. And the truth is, it's not even biblical. And so and you might say, well, you know, we know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You're exactly right. The enemy, according to John chapter 10, does come to steal, kill, and destroy. However, the reason why we don't find that in the same sentence as far as Satan or the devil with our finances, or he stole my checkbook, or he's stealing my money, my wealth, my bank account, because the potency of responsibility makes it just that. It becomes very potent when we begin to stop and realize, wait a minute, hold everything. The reason why I'm not prospering is not because the Word of God is wrong or right. It's not even because the devil's involved, the devil's not involved. What makes it potent, what makes it more spectacular, is God is saying, I have given you the power of, in other words, I've given you the attraction to gain wealth, to get your hands on wealth. One, another verse in the Bible that we love to say is, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And once again, we always rejoice over that, which is great. And you should rejoice. However, this verse backs up that verse, which is this, that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It never says it's yours. It says it's laid up. Which means if you want to really get what's laid up, put it another way, if you want to loose what is laid up for you, there's work to be done. And it's not working so hard with the sweat of your brow. It's working the mind of Christ. The Bible says to be a partaker of the divine nature of Christ, which means people can be saved and speaking in tongues all day long, and that's great. We want that. However, it's giving you an invitation to say, would you like to be a partaker in the divinity or the divine nature? The word nature means name. Do you want to participate? Do you want an invitation? Because I'm giving you an invitation to come up hither, like John the Revelator. I'm giving you an invitation to partake into eating, because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to do it, but that you can partake and eat of, we'll say, the vine, or eat of the fact that you can have the divine nature, which means you take on the nature of God, to understand how to loose it in the sense of how to begin to gain the attraction. How do we do that? By knowing our own value, knowing our own worth, knowing our own identity. Knowing that, the power of knowing, folks, is where your prosperity really is held. Because if something's laid up, it's got to be loosed. If God gives you the attraction to get wealth, then why aren't you attracting it? So statistically, if the world is prospering more than the church, it's only because of the fact we've been under such wrong teaching for so many years. I would go as far as even saying hundreds of years, because we've heard teachings of how wretched, how horrible, how, you know, dirt you are, how filthy you are. You need Jesus because you're a heathen, you're a nobody, you're just scum of the earth. And we get that mentality in us, when yet Jesus said, you're the righteous, or the Bible says, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we're wonderfully and fearfully made in His image and likeness. Nothing takes you away from that. Think about it. We're people that are, let's say, not Christians, it doesn't mean they're not made in the image and likeness of God. Everybody is. Adam represents humanity or mankind. So every person on this planet is made in the image and likeness of God. And does God look like an Indian and a black person and a white person and a woman and a man? Yes, but technically no, because the image of God is seen through and created in every human on this planet. So being made in the image of God means I'm made in an image that comes from the image that has all images within it, okay, of every human. So the likeness is embedded already in me. This is where people miss it. When people tend to say, you're horrible, you're no good, you can't do anything without God, the truth is, that sounds great, and some of it's partially true. Can you do stuff without God? Sure you can. Millions of people all over the planet do it every day. So you can survive without God. Do you want to survive without God? No, because the everlasting life He gives you is an invitation to say, let me come into your life now, okay? So let me just say this to you guys, just to sort of mess you up a little bit more. Everlasting life is not eternal life. This is where people miss it. Eternal life starts when you die, okay? Everlasting life starts at this present moment and carries you through this world and the world to come. And that's where people don't understand that power of realizing that everlasting and eternal are two different things, folks. Look it up for yourself in the original language, because it's not the same thing. And what that means is when I have Christ in my life, the everlasting life kicks in at this present moment. And what that means is I have everlasting power to understand my identity and within the likeness and the image that I'm created out of through God, which means it's a guarantee for me that if I just awaken to that reality of knowing my full identity in Him, not use it as an excuse to say, I'm hidden away in Christ, but yet you still don't know what you do. That's an excuse. That's a lame excuse. You're hidden away in Christ means you should know more about your identity than anyone on this planet. So being in Christ does not mean you're God's favorite child. It means you should be revealed. The apocalypse, which is the unveiling, the revealing of the Christ in you. That's what Revelation means. The book of Revelation is basically just saying this. It means it is the unfolding, the apocalypse, the unveiling of the Christ within. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. That's what it means. It's about the temple and what goes on within the temple. And so when we look at our lives, you have to realize I'm in the image and likeness of God. However, I need to know more about what that identity looks like for me in the likeness out of the trillions and quadruple millions of images that God has within Him, which are the humans on earth. So God has all the images out of one image of Himself, which is every person on this planet He ever breathes. That's why He breathes a life into us. The Ruach wind of God is breathed in us, which gives us the imagery and the creativity and the likeness of God. But it means that it's authentic and individual for every person, but all these billions and trillions of images are wrapped up and came out of one image of God. So when we see it from that angle, we realize I'm authentic. I'm not a cookie cutter. I'm not a robot. I'm authentic. But my problem is I've got to know my authenticity. I've got to know who I am to where the attraction that is embedded in me can kick in and start attracting the healthier things to realize I'm not some low-life piece of dirt on the ground. I truly still am the image and likeness of God. So is humanity all made in the image and likeness of God? 101%. He never says Christians are made in the image and likeness. If that's the case, we're leaving out millions of people in the Old Testament that supposedly, according to most theology, is going to burn in hell forever because of the fact that they recognize the fact that they're not made in the image and likeness. Well, that God never said that. Humanity represents Adam. And in Adam, the Bible makes it plain that in Adam all died, in Christ all be made alive, which is basically saying in Adam, which is humanity, everyone is made in the image and likeness. Now, the difference between us and them would be an awakening through Christ to recognize the likeness and image that I do carry, and then bringing my identity out of the likeness and image to say, there's something more about me that if I discovered more, then I can attract more. So attraction, bad attraction, comes through rotten teachings and horrible things about how low life, scum of the earth you are. But yet, guess what? If everybody's made in the image and likeness of God, then the people who are telling you you're scum of the earth, you're nobody, is literally projecting that of the image of God in you and the likeness of God in you that you haven't awakened to, and they keep on putting it down because they want you to think you're a horrible, rotten nobody. A good so-and-so is a group saying, you're nothing but a rotten so-and-so. And if you think about it, that's the exact same thing that many preachers will tell you. Maybe use a better quality of eloquent words, but that's in reality what they tell you. But yet you still are made in the image and likeness of God, no matter who or what you are. And the difference between us and them is, are you awakened because you've taken on the nature of Christ and allowing the mind of Christ to possess you, to awaken that you've always been in that image and likeness, and awakening that in you brings forth a brand new attraction to realize I can work my mind and not my behind and use the mind of Christ to give me a healthier attraction for everything I need, including the wealth and the value of money or anything else, but also attract the things that are healthy for me because I recognize there's a recognition of what I am now and what I'm capable of doing and what God can do through me once I know who I am. God can't really work through you if you don't know who you are in Him. It's contradictory. It's a double standard. It's a two-edged sword. Because God can't work through somebody that they can't see that power. Now, let me rephrase this. God can, okay? God can work through anyone, saint, sinner alike. However, God chooses those who have been through the furnace of affliction, which means He chooses those who are awakened to the fire of God, the purifying of God, to know who they are and that they understand who Jehovah is in their life. So this is where we have to begin to pull that into play. And once we do, we begin to come to the place where we're seeing that more and we recognize the devil's not attacking my finances. I mean, if I hear that one more time from somebody, I want somebody to say, I love you, my friend. I give you grace, but you're going to have to grow up and mature past the stinking thinking you've learned through somebody because you're doing the same thing Adam did and you're not being biblical. You're moving into a humanistic form, which is what humans do. Humans love to blame. And so you're actually coming out of the mind of Christ when you say, the devil made me do it. The devil stole my finances. It's all always a blame game. Blame game does not come from a biblical point of view, nor does it come through the mind of Christ's point of view. Some of you right now are being set free from this. It comes only from a human point of view, because all of us, saint and sinner alike, Indian, Chinese, Japanese, you know, American, you know, Mexican, whatever, no matter what you are, it's a human thing to just blame somebody else. If we can find someone to pass the blame to, that's the mind of Christ never has passed a blame. The mind of Christ says, awakest thou who sleeps and slumbers. In other words, awake to you, your educational learning, your understanding of what it is I'm trying to reveal to you, your understanding of what can you learn from the situation, and take responsibility, because the moment you take responsibility, that responsibility brings life to you, and it shows you exactly, wait a minute, hold on, skip the devil, skip other people. I'm not prospering because my attraction factor in me is wrong and messed up. So I get rid of my stinking thinking, get rid of a belief system in me, tie myself into a new belief system of that's biblical to begin to really pull into play that I am my problem. And I can work my way through this by getting the mind of Christ and navigating through the mind of Christ of exactly what I need to gain as far as awaken me to know how to move into a higher level of prosperity. Think of it this way, folks. I want you to really think good and hard. How many times do you hear preachers say, the devil, the devil, the devil? And you have to question, is that biblical? Have we ever found that biblically anywhere in the scriptures where certain people who blame the devil, where someone else in the Bible blamed the devil on those same issues? Most of the time you never do, because it's so easy to do that. But when you awaken to the fact that hold on, hold everything, the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Notice how that scripture is not tied into once I bind Satan, once I cast down this, once I blame the devil. No, you notice how it just says strictly, powerfully, I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't have a disclaimer to it that, but first you got to be free from all your demons. First you got to cast down the power and the presence of the spirit of poverty. Think about that. We love drama and we love action. The prophetic move is full, impactful of misquoted, misinterpreted drama. You know, I always say this, but it's true. I laugh about it, but it's true. There are more drama queens in the body of Christ than I've ever seen in my life, especially in the charismatic prophetic movement, because we love drama. We love action. We don't like to be still and know that He's God. We don't like to really say, hey, you know what, God, you have truly given me the mind of Christ. What if I activated that in me and I could really work my way through the mind of Christ to get what I need in my life? Because you did say, with no attachments, no disclaimers, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You never said, once you first bind the devil, you never say cast down the spirit of Satan or the spirit of poverty or whatever religious people attach to it. And think of it this way, guys. The more you attach, I want to be very blunt with you when I say this to you. The more you attach, okay, wrong theology to your life, the more you attract wrong theology. In other words, you will attract harder work for yourself. If the scripture did say, you know, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength, but I first must bind the spirit of poverty. I must begin to cast it down to the ground. Then here's what happens. If you start thinking that, to say, no, you know what? Before I prosper, it's the devil's fault. That's human thinking, not the mind of Christ. And because it's the devil's fault, I'm going to go ahead and cast out the spirit of poverty first. Guess what? According to your faith, so be it unto you. Your faith can move in anything. If I believe in, if I have faith in anything on this planet, and I convince my perception, a perspective, that that's reality for me, I'm going to add on more work for myself because I've literally created an extra hard avenue that's tied into something that is made to not be so difficult and hard. I want you guys to think about that for a moment. That's what we do. Wrong thinking, wrong theology literally pulls in more work for you, but you think it's awesome and more powerful because it's more drama, it's more action, I got more power, I got more authority, I can bind the devil, I can twist this, I can manipulate this of the devil. I mean, whatever the case may be, that we love drama, but you don't stop to realize you're adding in more work. You're adding to the Word of God. And taking away from the purity of the simplicity of that scripture. And so you're literally causing more work to happen because your belief system creates more work for you. Therefore, it shall be that unto you. When God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength, end of discussion. I already have the power of life and death in my tongue, not the devil, end of discussion. So when you learn to take this the word and say, the reason why my life is where it is right now is simply because I've been messed up by add-ons and additions of a movement that's full of drama that is adding to the simplicity of the word and making it harder for me by giving me more steps and more outlines and more guidelines. I got to do all this stuff, go through all these hoops in order for my life to be this. And if you notice, some preachers, all they talk about, I was talking about this morning with my staff member, and that is that notice how certain preachers are always constantly breakthrough on this, breakthrough on that, breakthrough on this, breakthrough through generational, breakthrough through generational misbehaviors, breakthrough, you know, for your finances, breakthrough in generational sins, breakthrough. And I'm starting to think to myself, he died 2,000 years ago, that I might have life and life more abundantly. So you have your breakthrough, which you probably never have because you're always putting it off to say, if I've got to have laid hands on me, or I've got to do this or this or this in order for me to get my breakthrough. So while you're seeking breakthrough, I'm going to move into a simplistic form to just know it was paid for me 2,000 years ago. I already am free. Whom the Son sets free, period, is free indeed. So while you're breaking and fighting and trying to gain stuff, I'll just decrease within myself and know that the Son has set me free, period. I don't have to worry about things being attached to me. I'm around you, so I'm getting your evil spirit upon me. You keep that, because let me be very honest with each one of you, okay? I'm going to say something very blunt. First of all, when I think of people who say, I think you got a spirit upon you from that person, I want to ask you very honestly and very bluntly, and that is this. Where is that recorded in the New Testament? The only thing we recognize is the seven sons of Sceva, okay, where the demons in them basically attacked the people because they didn't know. And this is very powerful, folks. Listen to me closely. The seven sons of Sceva were basically, if you think about the fact of, because they say, Paul, I know, you know, and we'll just make up stuff. Paul, I know, John Baptist, I know, but who are you? Notice that comment. That's very simplistic but powerful. It was asking for their identity. Think about that. It didn't say anything, are you spirit-filled? It didn't say anything like, hey, have you been through Bible school? Or have you heard, you know, Reverend so-and-so say this? No. It cornered nothing more than pure identity. Not knowing your identity is where your prosperity lies. Not knowing your identity is where everything that God's promised you lies. It lies wrapped up in that. The reason why they got attacked was simply because they didn't know who they were in Him. That's the key, friends. That's the key. So if you truly want to be attacked by traditions, if you truly want to be attacked by bad theology, bad, you know, thinking of going through these hoops, you'll be attacked with that only simply because you don't know what you are and who you are wrapped up in Him. Knowing you that you're wrapped up in Him is my greatest weapon of warfare. I don't need anything else. If you think about Ephesians chapter 6, all that is saying to me is I'm putting on Christ into discussion. When I put on Christ and I know who I am and what I am in Him, not anything such as, oh, my identity is wrapped up in Him, but I don't know what that looks like. No, no, no. That means you don't have an identity and you're going to be attacked. Let's just be real about it, folks. Because your theology, bad theology, will make sure something is attracted to you to attack you. Because you're thinking out of the rim of the simplicity of it's already paid for. It's already done. And all I got to do is just know what I'm called and who I am in Him. And everything else takes care of itself. So as I close, get back to prosperity for a moment. Prosperity happens easily for me. And it happens easy for everybody else. You know how it goes easy for some people? Is because I know who I am. I've set the demon to the devil aside. I took responsibility, thought to the mind of Christ, know that I take on full responsibility of my actions, good or bad. I take on full responsibility of knowing I can learn through the good, bad, and ugly, no matter what's happening to me, morning, noon, or night, I can take on a learning curve. And I don't have to go through the hoops of realizing that I can blame something or somebody when I've realized if I take responsibility. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. It never said God gives you a vision. God will work with you with a vision when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then you are filled. If you don't and you haven't presented something before the Father, no one went to a prophet without a gift. No one goes to God without a gift of themselves or a question or something that they're looking for to be answered. Think about this. So with that being said, it's the place where you've got to look at that and say to yourself, I know that my responsibility is wrapped up in me in the sense of knowing my identity, and I can do this with no problem whatsoever. I activate the mind of Christ in me. Set aside bad theology, set aside demons and spirits of this and spirits of that, and get out of my head, and I get into my heart, the heart of Christ. And when I do, all things can work for me. Everything is possible for me to accomplish. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, no attachments of bad theology, that's just it. And when that kicks into you, then that God who gives you the power or the attraction to gain wealth automatically just kicks itself in, and you'll start attracting everything God wants you to attract in your life. So thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. I want to encourage every one of you, please, please, please go to identitynetwork.net. And when you do, put in the, in our search engine, put in where it says School of Financial. Okay, you guys are going to love this. Now, check it out now. School of Breaking the Financial Code. School of Breaking the Financial Code. And the moment you do, all of a sudden it'll pull up automatically, and you'll find yourself at a place where no longer will you struggle with finances ever again. Thank you so much for tuning in today to our podcast. If you need anything else at all, please contact us at identitynetwork.net. And as always, make sure you understand, if you don't like your day, change it. Change your thoughts. Change your life. God bless you.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.